So I'm pleased to shift our focus a little bit today. We've been discussing our macro trends, what's important to patients, what's important to you as a surgeon, how our payers are responding to the changes in the movement to ambulatory care. And today, we're really going to talk more specifically about your vision. And it's really important to start with an architect that can assist you, that listens carefully to you. What are your visions, your desired outcomes? Selecting an architect that has expertise in designing ambulatory care centers across the country so they can really lead you through this decision making. Design is critically important. It is aesthetics, but it's also functional. Every decision comes with trade-offs on cost and outcomes and implications. You're designing a building for the long run, and you need and deserve better outcomes for your patients, for you as a provider, and for your team. Your clinical space is really important to your practice, and so doing it right from the beginning is important. So we have the national expert architect in developing ASCs with us today to really start generating some of the questions that we want you to think about on this journey. So I'm really excited to have you here today, Drew. Drew and I have had the opportunity to interface on some projects across the country. So Drew serves as a principal and as the national healthcare leader of ASCs with Boulder Associates. I think it's fair to say that you are the leading architect for ASCs across the country. Would you agree?
I would agree. And that goes back to our very beginnings. Over 40 years ago, that's how we started. And I think under our current count right now is about 400 surgeries, licensed surgery centers across the country in almost every state. So seen a lot, done a lot, been really lucky to learn from the pioneers of that when it really started kicking off in the early 80s. And has watched it evolve, which has been really fun, especially over the last 10 years.
So you have a wealth of experience to share today
as much as I can,
that we're listening to. One of the things is I picked Boulder Associates to work on some projects with is your focus and your tradition really is on the relationship with physicians.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about why that's important to you, Drew, as a principal here.
Yeah. So when we start off, again, we're really trying to get to know, why are you here, right? What are you doing? What is causing you to go out on this adventure, right? As a firm, we see ourselves as that. We like to go out and figure out new problems and fix things. And these guys are doing the same thing. Maybe they're venturing outside of the hospital system or they're doing something on their own. And so we really like to get to know them because it's going to be a lot different of a model when they're developing their own ASC. And right. So when we get to know them and understand, here's our budget, or here's our cost, or here's our limitations and goals, we're going to deliver them a much better product. And so we really pride ourselves on building that relationship and becoming that trusted advisor for the physicians and the entire team involved with the project.
So it's fascinating because that's how we approach projects as well, right? As you start with the strategy and the relationship and really understand the vision and the objectives that our surgeons have and then build around that. Let the design come after we understand that.
Absolutely. Because it's, again, we can design in a vacuum and we can give you a great center, but it's not going to work well for you, potentially, right? We want to learn the ins and outs of maybe what pitfalls are you having right now or how you want to improve or what may be lacking in your current center or something you've seen that's amazing and you want to implement. And so we don't know that without building a relationship with you because we don't want to do just one and walk away. We want to help you develop, a much, much bigger platform.
Well, and I also hear you saying you want to develop a plan that really works for them.
Absolutely.
That in the long run, they're making a major investment, right?
Huge investment.
Major change.
Yeah.
And so it needs to work for them in the long run.
And into every detail, right? How's their OR set up? How does it flow? How do patients get in? Is everything in the right place for them? Because that's going to make them efficient. That's going to make their job more enjoyable. That's going to make their staff happier, especially when they're happier. And so that's really what we want to drive.
That's what it's about.
Absolutely what it's about.
Excellent. You worked with surgeons across the country. What is the biggest misconception that you think surgeons have?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I thought about a couple on that one. One is, especially when you move, and this may be more geared toward someone who's coming out of the inpatient environment,
sure,
of the hospital environment, is bigger isn't necessarily better, especially when it comes to your OR. You know, we've had,
it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had surgeons come in and say, you know,
600 square feet,
700 square feet. Yep. We've got to be this big. And so I remember we went through an exercise one time, it's called 3P, which is where we build a full scale mock-up. Yeah. Out of cardboard. And we put everything in its place, equipment, you know, monitors, we get them in there. We get
circulating.
Everybody's in there. And, you know, once we got it, everything's, yep, this is exactly how it's supposed to be. We pulled the walls in and it was, you know, I think 480 square feet. And, you know, we saved them a ton of time and money being able to do that for them. So, you know, again, bigger isn't always better, right? Yes, you can plan for the future. You may want to bring in a specialty surgeon that you're not, you know, doing that case type at this point in time. But if you don't have a real business reason to do it, bigger isn't necessarily better. So.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that I often hear surgeons struggle with is cost versus quality or outcomes.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a choice of cost or quality? Or I'd love to advocate that you can do both with smart planning and decision making.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that it's not one or the other. They're not mutually exclusive. It's about spending the money in the right place. Sure. I'll give you probably a really weird example, but
very I think that would really help our surgeons to hear examples.
So one of the things that we run into a lot is we are also, not only do we design surgery centers, we're asked to audit surgery centers. And so we'll go in and I'll tell you 99 times out of 100, I'll pearl a curtain of a patient bay back and it's full of equipment. It's full of storage and supplies.
I'm shocked.
Right. As you never see that. Right. And,
yep.
But what are they complaining about? I don't have enough storage. But on the flip side, they don't ever complain that the throughput through the pre-op and PACU is ever their bottleneck.
Right? Interesting.
And so you've spent all this money to put all these gases in and wall protection. And, you know, you've bought the bed, you've bought all the equipment, the IV stands, monitors, everything. And it's a storage room. Right. So you can be very smart about the decisions you make by really understanding, you know, again, and we can help with that. And there's a lot of groups that can help with that. I know you guys do it as well. But really just making sure that based on the case type and the turnover and the, you know, the blocking schedule that, you know, you guys would possibly develop as a group, that will drive those things, that waste away. And so just being smart about it, I think you can have both.
So it's fascinating. So as I think about it, our surgeons need to consider what decisions you help them think through, right? What are those questions that they need to think through early, right? Yeah. To have long-term impact. Yeah. So you've already spoken to size being critical. Square footage is expensive, right? Yeah. What other decisions do you encourage them to think about early on for long-term impact?
Yeah, so, and it's hard for them. I think it's another one of the decisions are hard for them to understand in the design process, but encourage them to do is you know, selecting equipment, that becomes a really big driver. And I'll use the OR boom as an example. And we're working on a project right now where we started with a concept. We had a design. It was going to be a center mounted boom. Talked to somebody else. We're about to finish up. They said, well, maybe what if we moved it to, you know, 6 and 12 or 9 and 3? What if we added another boom in that? Mm-hmm. Well, all the ductwork that's above that's there. You know, it's we got to coordinate that with mechanical and electrical. And, you know, move things around. Can it be done when it's on paper? Yes.
Sure.
But it's not simple. It changes our delivery of those drawings. And sometimes those changes are asked when we're under construction. And it's, yes, you can do anything and make those changes. But, you know, as an architect, what we like to come to you with as a surgeon is, these are the relevant questions we need to know now. So I encourage them to say, hey, I know it doesn't sound really important right now because you're not going to be in your building for a year. Think about, Do you want a boom? Do you want your equipment on a boom or on a tower? Like, think through that process now, put the time into it. Don't go, I can answer that later. Those are things that I encourage them to really dig into as soon as possible.
You know, Drew, that just makes perfect sense, right? Because not thinking about those decisions early on or adequately often causes rework, delays, a lot of cost and money.
Cost and money, yeah. For the architect, potentially, for the contractor, certainly. And again, when you're under construction, too, it becomes even, you know, potentially more problematic because they're under the gun. They may need to order things and cost escalate, right?
Yeah, change orders are always dangerous and something that we want to avoid. And I think working with an experienced architect like you that has done this, they can avoid a lot of those pitfalls.
You can. And, you know, there will always be changes, right? That's another thing that we try to manage really well is we know they're coming. You can't think of everything, right? You know, as a, you know, you're a practicing surgeon,
right?
Right. You're not going to sit down and think about, I need, you know, this here and that there. We're not going to get it perfect. So part of what we do is we understand change is coming. And so we're trying to mitigate that as well.
So do you advise the surgeons that you're working with to bring in some trusted team members with them to design? I'm thinking, you know, nurses, architects, and others, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Nursing staff. Materials management is another big one. And I would say probably the one that has had the biggest change over the last, I'll say 10, 15 years is sterile processing. Now that we're doing so many bigger cases, you know, total joint, it's got a lot more throughput. Sure. You've got to get that to work. These little tiny SPDs that were perfectly adequate, you know, 10, 15 years ago, just aren't working anymore. That's their bottleneck right now. And that's going to impact their revenue and their ability to generate revenue in those spaces and those ORs if they don't get supplies. So,
yeah, we certainly are aware of the trend, right? That more and more complex cases are moving to ambulatory. So to your point, you know, joints, complex spine. Yep. So now we're starting to have a lot of conversations around cardiology.
Yes.
Interventional labs and all of that. How do you help surgeons that are thinking about building their own ASC or revising to build for a future that we know somewhat about, right? More and more complexity, but not all of the details.
Yeah. You know, cardiovascular is a great, great point. It runs so much differently. So it's a little difficult to advise on that. But, you know, typically if they think that's really coming, we're really talking to them about, hey, well, that probably needs to be set on the edge of your suite where you can expand into something else so we can get the control in the equipment room.
Sure.
SPD is a little different. They're going to use more disposables and not necessarily need to be tied. So really it's a lot about educating them on, hey, here's the trends we're seeing. Here are the things that we understand are happening that are the case types that may be allowed to come to the outpatient environment. And again, really try to dig into, well, how serious are you about this? And then just try to position them in the best way we can.
Yeah, no, it's really helpful to think through. And as I've worked with surgeons over the years too, there's always a desire to grow.
Right.
Right. And we want to help them design and build ambulatory centers that are successful and can grow. So talk to me a little bit about the options that you offer them for growth, right? Beyond extending hours, your point around surface areas and external growth or space that isn't built out. What do you recommend and think through with surgeons?
Yeah, so a lot of times what will happen is either if you're confined to too little of space, right? Sometimes we don't have so much space to work with, right? We're limited, but best we can. But don't get over complex with your circulation patterns.
Okay.
And where you put certain elements, right? So what we like to do when we master plan a campus for, say, a hospital or, you know, a big healthcare campus, we always like to leave what's called an empty chair. Where are they going to migrate to next? What's the most likely component to grow? OR, SPD, pre-op and PACU. And so what we're really trying to do is position space where it's natural to extend a corridor, take over a conference room or take over an office, turn it into something else, but just strategically position things that are what we'll call soft space so that you can create more revenue generating space and offload some of those other components.
That's really helpful. So talk to me about your tactics for working with surgeons who have a vision, right? They want more control in their practice. They want excellence in their outcomes. They want to be highly efficient, right, with their cases. How do you help them hone in on that vision that you talked about early on and bring it to life within a budget that we can finance?
Yeah. So on the, you know, on the budgeting side, it's really, really important to obviously understand what we're working with from day one. So that's critical because we'll have some groups come in and say, hey, I want to do this for $450 or $500 a square foot. We know that that's going to be on the lower
end. It's very challenging.
It's challenging. It's depending on the market, especially.
Right.
And then some we're saying $600, $675. And we say, well, we can do a lot more with that. And so we help them try to understand what are the trade-offs going to be and what are their priorities. So, you know, one, again, back to orthopedics that becomes really critical is the HVAC, the air conditioning system, right? but that's top dollar. But it's probably one of the most important things we see in an orthopedic setting, or any case where they're going to be leaded up or you know gowned up. So, and it's going to be hot. So we're really trying to drive that down. But you can drive cost out by lowering the cost of the mechanical system by giving yourself less control over those things. So we guide them through that decision along with others, right? How much material management space do you need, right? Are you able to get supplies on a daily basis or a weekly basis? And so we're using our expertise of these are all the things that we've run into before. And so here's what I really need you to understand in order for us to help make the right recommendation so you can make the right decision.
So we've talked a fair amount about the physician perspective, their vision and what's important to them, like HVAC. How do you help them think about the design elements that are most important to patients?
That's a tough one. Yeah. What we're really trying to do with them is we encourage them not only to, themselves advocate for themselves, in the design process, but we really, again, when we can bring in that nursing staff, the patient focus, the folks that are with the patient after surgery in the pre-op and PACU area, especially in the waiting room. So we're really trying to work with the other folks within their team. And it's not that the surgeon are necessarily, I'm not trying to imply that they're not paying attention.
Hear it that way at all.
Okay. I just didn't want to come off that way. But The idea that, everyone is advocating for the patient, because we also know that reimbursement is going to be driven by patient satisfaction. And so they're usually keenly aware to that, but we reiterate that. And so when we're designing those spaces, those are the spaces that we're really trying to make sure we get good natural light into. It helps with patient recovery. It helps with any of the stress from a family member waiting, doing things like that, making the flow between the pre-op and PACU really efficient and clean.
About the significant other that is with them.
Yeah. How do you get the significant other into the pre-op and PACU without having
crossing the red line?
Yeah. Yep. Or traversing the entire pre-op and PACU to get there. So how we configure patient coming in from the waiting room and then discharging out and how that all flows so that we're maintaining patient privacy. We're making them feel as comfortable as he can, but while it's allowing staff to be as efficient as they possibly can be.
Yeah. Also very important to the success of that AFC.
Yeah.
So Drew, you've had experience across the country with lots of physicians, lots of areas. What tips would you offer to surgeons that are thinking about this journey of developing an ASC?
Yeah. Obviously start with your pro forma, build your plan, understand, what's your return going to be. And there's a lot of groups that help with that, right? You guys are certainly capable to help them understand that. Getting an understanding of what the costs are going to be. And then across the board, working with a team that has done this before. Ambulatory surgery centers, the ambulatory care market is a weird strata of expertise. It is special, right?
It is.
Because we've seen hospital architects that are really wonderful at designing hospitals try to design ASCs and they may overdo it. Or you may have a group that does medical office buildings that tries to do it and they just don't understand some of the code and technicalities.
That nuances.
Little different piece there.
Right.
And so find people that are dedicated to that. So your design team, your construction team, you may bring in an operator, the development team, people who do this day in and day out, they are there to help you and can really add a tremendous amount of value to your process and take the headache away from you.
I really appreciate that. And let me flip it then and ask about when we don't set up for optimal success. Give me some even examples that you have of pitfalls that happen when good decisions are not made up front.
Yeah. A lot of times, and again, I back up to say sometimes these decisions aren't necessarily made for the wrong reasons. Yeah,
understood.
You'll walk into a building and there's a beautiful atrium, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a water feature and there's, all these, and
it's just growing, molded, hard to maintain.
Right. Yes. And so, a surgery center is really difficult to design if you can't isolate it from the atrium, right? We can't discharge patients through that. We can't do anything.
Going through that common traffic. Yeah.
You don't want them going through those kinds of spaces. There's code reasons you can't do it. And but they fall in love with it. And this is where we want to be. So we really work hard to say, hey, listen, we're there to help you make the right decision. Yes, this could be the space you want to be in, and yes, it's the space you can end up in, but understand here's the ramifications of that process. Upper floors of buildings, buildings that are not designed to hold surgery centers because of,
especially now the weight, right? With the equipment.
Well, the equipment, the occupancy separation of that. So you need a 1 hour occupancy. So when you're on an upper floor, or you're in a building that's not designed to that wasn't designed to be that. And so wood construction, you know, there's all kinds of things. There's bones that you don't see that we know to go look
that
for.
We appreciate you know and understand.
And so, yeah,
we just know that we don't, and we need your expertise.
Yeah. So those are the types, especially when, again, most of those examples were about going into existing spaces, but it would bear true for, hey, if you want to build this for the long term, you may not build it out of this material. You may not want to have an atrium, or you may not want to have a water feature kind of thing, because there's implications to that.
You kind of remind me of my husband's advice every time we'd go look for a house. Don't fall in love. Don't make it an emotional decision, right? Base it on the facts and what's going to create the best long-term impact for your ASC.
Yeah.
Really helpful. So, Drew, it's been great. Is there anything I didn't ask you that you think is important for our surgeons to know from your expertise as an architect developing these across the country?
No, I mean, the architect is there to help you through this process. And you know, you gotta trust each other through that, because there will be challenges
for sure
through that. And, you know, that's why I think it's so important for you to both your entire team to be well-versed and educated, right? I want to go to a surgeon that has a, you know, good reputation for this case type. That's what I want out of my architect, out of my developer, out of my contractor. I think that's just so important. So,
all right. I really appreciate you sharing all that you've shared with us today and helping our surgeons think about success in their ASC.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you. So welcome to my Ready Room, which is really focused on preparedness for you as a surgeon as you undertake the tough questions about ASC design. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Drew as much as I did. I've had the opportunity to work with Drew, and for you, I wanted somebody like him who is just so passionate about the work. He's developed over 600 or designed over 600 ASCs, but he still brings just incredible compassion, excitement, passion. And what I love most for you is his focus on physicians. So he gave us several important tips as we think about the design questions that you have to undertake. What's most important to you? It has to start with you. So what I want to leave you with is this: choose an architect, early, choose somebody that has expertise in building ASCs. Because as we heard, they are very unique from a regulatory, a compliance, a provider, a patient, team experience, from so many factors. So choose a really experienced architect, and most of all, choose one that listens to you, that will bring your vision to fruition. Thank you so much for listening.